Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman. Today, as we delve into some of the matters that are of interest to Bible prophecy and to us in the contemporary world and events that kind of shape what we believe is happening in this end time. And a number of things have been happening. Of course, the war in Israel has kind of gone off the boil in regard to the news cycle. However, the number of things that happened there that are of interest. First of all, it appears that there is a clear separation between Israel and America as it is right now. Because previously, the Biden administration in America had asked Israel not to attack Gaza, the southern part of Gaza. Rafah, where the people had run. And Netanyahu said that he is going to do what is good for Israel and not what is good for Biden's re-election. Because there is a group of liberals who are growing in number, now even conservatives and so many all sorts of people in America who are pushing for Israel to stop their war in Gaza. And now, of course, it went, first of all, there was a case that was lodged by South Africa, which you know about. Then later on, there was it went to the UN, where there was a vote on whether Israel should stop their attack on Rafah. And what I found interesting is that Israel was saying they would stop the attack on Rafah if Hamas said they were going to give up their the hostages, the Israeli hostages whom they still have, yes, or at least who they are believed to still have. And that was their condition, Israel. We are ready to stop if you are ready to give up the hostages. And Hamas said, no, we are not ready to give up the hostages. And UN voted in favor of Israel stopping the hostilities, even if Hamas will not give up the hostages. Now, that is not shocking because UN has never been in favor of Israel, so there's nothing new there, UN generally. But what is new is that America this time did not veto it, which they usually do. This time America actually just absconded. And there was a delegation of Israeli politicians going to America for a meeting at the White House. And when this happened, Netanyahu canceled the visit. And so somehow now there are tensions between the two countries because Biden has to pander to a group of liberals and so many other people in America who are so pro-Palestinian. And yet Netanyahu thinks this is the opportunity to finish off Hamas completely and to remove the ability to ever attack Israel again in the manner in which they did on October 7th last year. So now there is in is the problem. Now Israel were apparently, even in the talks with Qatar, and Qatar was a very good mediator because so many of the Hamas people have their families living in Qatar. Now, so Qatar promised to be some kind of mediator in the talks between these two. And Israel was insisting, first and foremost, their hostages be released, whether dead or alive. If they are dead, give us their bodies. If they are alive, bring them back. Then we shall stop. This is, but Hamas is saying, no, we shall not give up the hostages. So they want to retain the hostages, yet they want Israel to stop the bombardment. So, of course, now they've gone to emotional arguments, which is what they are very good at, releasing videos of people apparently eating at a dustbin and so on. They are very good at that, and they are very, very good propagandists. And, of course, Israel has lost the apparent world moral high ground, and that is good enough for Hamas because they know that they can keep on doing this as long as somehow UN and the whole nations and everybody sides with them.
Yes. The thing is, Israel is very interested in the ceasefire. But also, because at first they had presented a six-week period, which they said their hostages has to be released in those period of 6 weeks. Then, of course, the ceasefire will be cemented. But when they presented it to Hamas, Hamas refused. And because of that, they went ahead and actually went and continued with their, like, they, Netanyahu now released and said, now let's go and attack Rafah. Mm. So it has actually been that back and forth. And even all the hostages mediations, which has been going around, and ceasefire mediations, it has actually stalled. Mm. Like, it's just stalling, because there has been one in Egypt.
Mm.
And that one, France had also come in and wanted to actually bring in the mediations. And they were talking. But all of them, the conclusion of all those mediations came to the point where Israel had requested that Hamas releases their
hostages,
but in a given period of 6 weeks, then they can stop everything. They can do a ceasefire. But when they presented to Hamas, they refused.
Mm.
Now,
and that has been the future.
It has been going on like that. They presented it back again, like the one in Qatar.
Mm.
Also, they refused. So there has been a lot of that back and forth. But you spoke of America, because now it is just clear that, because Biden, first of all, said, don't attack Rafah. And they sent their said Department of Security to go to Israel. And all that also flopped, because he went, but Netanyahu said, we are not, and he's actually a very hardcore person, very hardcore, and he's really determined to do what is best for Israel. Now, Israel is a sovereign nation to make its own decision. But U.S. is coming and saying that, don't attack Rafah. And he's just saying, we have not approved. And yet, Israel has its own sovereign freedom as a state to make its own decision.
Maybe it's about time that that relationship between America and Israel is severed.
Yes.
Because what happens is that there's a lot of presumption, because there was even that Senate leader, Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, saying that there should be elections in Israel.
Yes.
And speaking that on the floor of the U.S. Congress. And that sounds so ridiculous, because who gave him the authority to say when there should be elections in Israel and not so, especially a country that's as democratic as Israel. But then, okay, those are one of the things happening. The other one is that while we have been looking at this being the probable cause for some sort of third world war or some kind of global war, it seems America is determined to have a world war.
Yes.
And everybody in America, I mean, this Biden administration, he seems determined that there is going to be a war.
Yes.
Now, after this, of course, there was that controversy. What's that guy called? Who died in prison?
Navalny.
And where they were using his widow to say Putin killed and so on, which of course was rubbish. Because as soon as the man was born, within 15 minutes, 15 minutes, all world leaders from the West were saying Putin has killed him and so on. It's like they knew he was going to die.
Yes.
And they were prepared, because usually what happens is that, let's say, for instance, and this happens when a big person dies.
Yes.
For instance, when Nelson Mandela died.
Yes.
The news of his death was kept in secret for a short time until all world leaders were informed.
Yes.
And then they prepared their way to come and say something about his death.
Yes.
Then when all world leaders had been sufficiently informed, then Jacob Zuma, who was the president of South Africa, came and announced officially the death of Mandela. As soon as he had announced, Obama in America was already giving a speech, because he had been informed earlier that he's dead. So, and all other world leaders were giving a speech.
Mm.
Now, this one was supposed to be a sudden death, which happened occurred like that, unlike the other one, which was, first of all, which was communicated earlier, but was also expected. The man was 95.
Yes.
But somehow world leaders were ready to give their speeches. It was all fake.
Mm.
And now, that aside, now there was a terror attack.
Yes.
Tell me about the terror attack in Moscow, in a nightclub.
Now, for instance, for that one, it just happened.
Mm.
And shockingly, like what you said, all world leaders comes in. The attack happens, like it happened on Friday.
Mm.
And then all the media houses started saying Putin actually organized it.
He's the one went and shot his own people in the nightclub.
They are saying so.
But of course that didn't sell, because all the people who have been seen, all the opinion leaders, except those who are like very close to power, all of them think that it is the West.
Yes.
almost everybody, even in America, everybody is absolutely convinced that it is the West, just like they were convinced that the Nord Stream was the West, and a few other things, because they're trying to provoke Putin into some kind of war.
Yes.
And Putin is refusing to swallow the bait.
Yes.
I don't know why they're pushing
him so much, because looking at Ukraine, right now, they are pushing NATO forces like France. You see France, Macron saying that I'll come and release. Actually, they have released their forces and also ammunitions, more aid and more support for Ukraine. So Putin says that the entrance of NATO, it will lead to now a war with NATO, because Putin began saying that that war is just their military reaction towards what was happening there. But now he came out declaring that now they're actually in a war. Officially, they are saying they're in a war with Ukraine. And he said that the entrance of NATO will lead to a war with NATO. And looking at the background of all this, which the West, in quotes, are trying to do with their, of course, the alleged attack, in the terror attack in Moscow, plus also the death of this guy, which they all looks like they are planning. So they are pushing him very well. And it actually may lead to, I've been seeing a lot of background things and conversations saying that Putin is actually, there can be likely war between Russia and NATO.
Yeah, and it seems NATO wants that, but I don't believe Putin is going to swallow their bait. But the thing is, first of all, America recreated ISIS, which apparently had died, because as soon as there was a shooting in the nightclub in Moscow, then it's ISIS. That means that the world needs one villain, so one villain group to blame for everything which is done by the West and so on. So ISIS was a very convenient group to blame for anything, any dirty thing that is done. And then this is ISIS, this is ISIS. So somehow ISIS has come back. It was very alive during the reign of Obama.
Yes.
It died during the reign of Trump.
Yes.
It has come back under the reign of Biden. And I'm sure it will disappear again under the reign of Trump.
Yes.
Starting next year. Yes. The thing is, these are games. These are war games. And there are so many people who want war right now. There are so many people who want war. Because first of all, the New World Order people, the World Economic Forum people, and those globalists are losing the cultural war.
Yes.
They are losing it so bad, so bad. I was shocked, actually, that a Hollywood star, a lady called Anne Hathaway, said that she was failing to get gigs, acting gigs, because she had won an Oscar. And that kind of put stigma on her, winning an Oscar. Can you imagine? And that no movie house wanted to hire her, because people don't want to watch anything associated with Oscars. That's how much they are losing the cultural war. Now, previously, Oscar winner would be something that brings people to watch the movie. But now, Oscar winner, people say, ah, those are the agenda things. Because they know nobody wins the Oscars unless they are part of the agenda, because that's their forum. That's the, those are their words. So now she was saying, herself that people are fearing to hire her because she won an Oscar. Because you put an Oscar winner in your movie, people are not going to watch it. And remember, there are so many people who are not buying into that agenda. They are, the people who have it are strong and are in places of power, but they are a minority. The majority of the people who vote every day with their, you know, with their credit cards and so on, with what they consume, are very against that thing. Now that shocked me, because now that shows that they are totally losing the cultural war. A number of things, that and then the way they seem to be losing on every front against Donald Trump. Even when they throw all sorts of dirty games at him. Now imagine yesterday, or rather Monday, was supposed to be the day that he was going to be ruined financially. And they were going to take over his buildings. And they were threatening to take over, to put chains around his buildings in New York and so on. And I was watching, forcefully, watching some of the, you know, the liberal news channels in America. And they were saying, this is the end of Trump. They are going to bankrupt him. And, you know, at the end of this, you'll be selling holy oil. They said you'll be selling holy oil. At the end of this, this is the end of him. And they were jubilating. And Then on the very Monday when they were he was supposed to be selling holy oil to save himself from bankruptcy. Yes. Can you imagine? They had even suggested one of the ways to do it is to file for bankruptcy.
Yes.
Then on the very day, then his Truth Social merges with another company and go on the stock, and then it's listed on the stock, and then he owns 58% of that merger.
Yes.
And then the shares go high enough at the beginning.
Yes.
For him to be $4 billion richer.
$4 billion richer
from
more,
just that sale.
Yes.
But then, between Manda and now, they have gone up a further 50%. Now that makes him $8 billion
richer
by share value.
Yes.
And this was the day everybody was celebrating Donald Trump was supposed to be bankrupted. Now the man is
has
joined one of the top 400 richest people in the world.
Yes.
With his net worth. So it's, and now even people who are not, I was seeing some congresswoman saying that I'm not religious, but clearly God is on Donald Trump's side. Because things just seem to turn
around. Yes.
And this is a very important, lesson for all of us as a church. Because when you stand up to fight, there's a way God can fight for you. When you don't stand up to fight, you will never know what he can do. Until you actually stand up to fight.
I like one thing. One time, something you told us that the real thing is in offensive. For you to, when you are defensive, you'll be hammered.
Yes.
But when you are in the offensive, that's a moment when all the time you win, because the devil always flees when he sees that you are in the offensive when you are attacking. But when you coil back and you sit and you're not in the offensive and you become defensive, there he takes you over. It was something really so much. And that's what I'm seeing. You see, Trump is in the offensive. He's out there that now I'm going to do this. In his agenda, he says we are going to take down the establishments. We're talking about things which have been for years that we are going to take. An establishment is talking about things like Council of Foreign Relations, the Brooklyn Institute of...
First of all, there's that, the bank, what's it called? Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve. He's talking about all those establishments. He says we are going to take down all...
Council
and
for
all
Foreign
those,
Relations.
Yes, Council of Foreign Relations, Federal Reserve, and then the Brooklyn Institute. And all those in America, they are actually the authority of New World Order.
But you know, the thing
order.
Is this,
to
accomplish what he's saying...
Yes.
The things he has, the people, like it's just going to be a total, because the FBI, the CIA, because everybody in America seemed to believe that the CIA was behind the attack in Moscow. And it had all the hallmarks of them.
Yes.
And all that is trying to foment a war. Now, when there is a war, that might mean there are no elections in America.
Yes.
That might be the last chance these people have of stopping Trump from taking over.
Mm-mm.
Either that, or they are going to release another stupid virus.
Yes.
Which might not stop the elections, but might bring all these made-in ballots like they did in 2020, and cheat the election.
Yes.
And now there are people out there who think that those guys don't cheat elections. They absolutely cheat elections. They I was arguing with somebody after the 2020.
Yes,
he was bringing out courts and all that. These people don't cheat until courts started ruling that actually there are people whose birth dates were 1850 who voted for Biden. So that means if they were alive, they would be like 200 years old, which of course is fake.
Very
and now, fair. And so many. So the point is, let's move on from that anyway.
Yes.
But they are losing the cultural war. This is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
All across the world,
everywhere.
Even in Europe. Now, you see, even in Netherlands,
there
is a very, very radical,
Yes.
You saw what happened in Argentina.
Yes.
In countries across Europe,
yes.
Even in the UK, now even their move against farmers, fighting farmers and so on is very, very unpopular.
Yes.
Even Europe, which they seem to have in their pocket, they are losing the cultural war.
Yes.
Now, all that is needed is fighters.
Yes.
Fighters. People who will stand up and move.
Yes.
And when they move, there is, God told Joshua that you go and fight those people and I will give you victory over them.
Mm.
So you are the one who does the fighting.
Mm.
But it is God who gives you the victory.
Yes.
But God cannot give you victory when you've chosen not to fight.
Yes.
You have to fight.
Mm.
But it is Him who gives you the victory.
Yes.
Now, when we understand that, even as a church in Uganda, that there is a state of affairs which is not proper.
Yes.
And we as a church have to come out and reinstitute, because we are supposed to be the solution for the country.
Yes.
But we have become so complacent and so embroiled in being part of the problem that we've forgotten that we are supposed to be a solution. And we are supposed to be God's constituency on earth. So now we are caught up in the very problems that we are supposed to be solving. And we are hoping that there is a system in the world that is going to give us victory. Now, the worldly system cannot give us victory.
No.
The worldly system is not built to have victory for believers. Actually, it's built to crush you.
Yes.
Now, if they actually knew that, because I see so many people, even like fellow ministers and so on, and you look at them and you can see they kind of hope that they can find victory within this system of the world.
Yes.
And you look at them and you pity them, because it's not going to happen. It really is not going to happen, because the system was built, this current system was built by the enemy for his people.
Yes.
Now, God says that he is going to crush it.
Yes.
That's what he says. He's going to consume it, actually.
Yes.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. He says, and as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, I'm reading Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. But verse 44 is the one I'm really interested in, and says, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, this kingdom that God is creating through us in our time is not meant to coexist with the kingdoms of this world.
No.
It's meant to crush,
to consume.
To consume and completely destroy them.
Yes.
And that's what we are here for.
Mm.
So there are people who think that we are supposed to, you know, fit into some worldly system. And so, no, we are never supposed to do that.
Yes.
And we are not here to do that.
No.
But then we also know that as a church, when we stand up to fight with the Lord behind us, we can never lose.
No.
Like, the only defeat you have is that which you give yourself, either by not fighting or by fleeing.
Yes.
But when you stand up and you go against a system that has been set up, because now when you stand up and you fight, it's a fight between two.
Yes.
Whose God is more powerful? Okay?
And of course we know.
Yes. So now, like it was between David and Goliath.
Yes.
He says that you come to me in the name of your gods, but I come to me in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies you've defied today. Now, as long as David, for 40 days, 40 days, these people had been tormented by Goliath, and they ran away. And they were losing because they were not fighting.
Yes.
All it took was somebody who was willing to go and fight.
Yes.
And then God did the rest.
Mm.
Because David says, okay, I will go and fight.
Mm.
And all he had to do is to declare that I'm coming here in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Now, when you do that, you've made God's reputation on the line.
Yes.
You have to win, because God cannot lose.
No.
So you say that you are coming in the name of your gods. I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Suddenly, the reputation of God is on the line, and you cannot lose. And now this... If I wish, because the church is full of cowards, unfortunately. People who will not stand up to anything that they believe is not correct.
Mm.
People who do not want to be involved in solution providing. They actually quiet. They say, no, for us, we are somebody. What you are.
Yes. Actually, I want to read a scripture here in Judges chapter 3, which speaks about the kingdoms which were left when Joshua were taking, they were taking over the promised land. It says, Judges 3 verse 1, now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it.
Now imagine that. Where you're still reading. But imagine that where God says that, I don't want, because you see, that complacent
generation
where you came and people fought the wars, gave you land,
yes.
and somehow you're born into some land peace. Flowing with milk and honey,
yes.
and then you have peace, and yes. then you've never known war.
War, yes.
And you become very weak and
yes.
vulnerable.
Yes.
And I see that even in our Christian walk.
Yes.
There are so many scenarios which the Lord takes you through, just yes. so that you may know war.
Yes.
And so that you may mature up.
Mm.
Because if everything was smooth sailing, then you'd be you'd be a weak person. You'd
yes.
be a weak Christian.
Mm. Yes.
But you have to encounter some wars. And by
yes.
wars, I don't mean the kind of wars that those people had in the Old Testament.
Mm.
But
it's a conditional war right now.
Conditional war fighting
yes.
for territory and so
yes.
on.
Mm.
So that you mature and you know your... And
yes.
Every victory makes you know your God more.
Yes.
Now imagine now God saying that these people, they would grow up when they don't know war. So let
yes.
me leave some nations here.
Yes.
So that they can be fighting every once
yes.
in a while.
Yes.
Now that's the same God we serve.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And he says, namely 5 lords of the Philistines,
mm.
all the Canaanites, mm. the Sidonians,
mm.
and the Hivites
mm.
who dwelt in Mount Lebanon,
mm.
from Mount Baal Hamon
mm.
to the entrance of Hamath. Verse 4 is where I'm interested now in.
It
says, and they were left that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses.
Wow, that's what that's
and it's
interesting.
All about learning war.
Yeah.
And in this end time, that's a sign that because we are taking territories, like the scripture you read, that we are supposed to consume these all kingdoms which are now left. They are left for us to actually learn war and fight and take over.
Mm.
And it's actually our own duty to... I can say that if in this end time, if you don't know or learn war, it is a must.
No, I mean, I saw how people all succumbed and folded like centipedes during COVID period.
Mm.
And I was thinking, man, everybody just folded and
yes.
went along with the world system. And nobody was willing to even stand up and
yes.
say anything about it.
Mm.
Like, I've never seen such a scenario where
yes.
the church was completely powerless.
And
I really, really do not understand. Because I wonder if people understand the kingdom, the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And in my experience, people start to know what the times we are living in when they understand that there are two kingdoms, okay?
Yes.
And we belong to one kingdom.
Yes.
The kingdom where Jesus is king.
Yes.
And in that kingdom, we have to go and consume the kingdoms of darkness.
Yes. Mm.
And we are going to have to end up on top.
Yes.
It is designated in Bible prophecy.
Yes.
Of which I am an expert.
Yes.
We are going to end up on top.
Yes.
So now, are we going to end up on top by folding our hands? I don't understand how people like that. Because...
No. Mm.
At the end of the day, I'll tell you this.
Yes.
One of the I'll say our purpose
yes.
in this world is to increase the influence of God in our lives.
Yes.
Because and Prophet Elvis Imboje is the one who said that.
Yes.
Like our purpose, the purpose of our existence
yes.
is to increase the influence of God in our lives. Now, when you're born again, you have Christ in you, but
yes.
he has very little influence. You ultimately you do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in total control.
Yes.
He's not in the driving seat.
Yes. Mm.
But as you mature and grow in the Lord,
mm.
if you actually do mature in
yes.
the Spirit,
mm.
so many people do not
yes.
Mature in the Spirit. But as you mature in the Spirit, you see that he starts wanting to have more control
yes.
in your life.
Mm.
And you yield more control.
Yes.
Progressively,
yes.
you yield more control. Then you get to a time when actually, hopefully, when it's almost him entirely
over.
In control.
Mm, and he's in the driving seat.
He's in the driving seat.
Yes.
Now that is the purpose.
Yes.
Now, when he increases his influence in our personal lives,
yes.
then now we go out there and we are supposed to, he works through us to increase his influence
yes.
in the world.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
Because now we are not supposed to be in a position where other people, demonic forces are making decisions.
Mm. Yes.
Now there is a lockdown.
Yes.
Now everyone should get vaccinated. Now what?
Yes.
Yeah? And now the people of God are quietly locked somewhere.
Yes.
They are not involved in any decision making whatsoever. And where the president comes and says, arcades open and everybody, but churches, those ones don't even tell me about churches.
Mm.
We shall talk about churches in 40 days.
Yes.
Where you see that it's a demonic agenda.
Mm.
driven by a demonic person.
Yes.
In this case, the president of Uganda.
Mm.
And the church is powerless.
And they cannot do anything.
Yes.
They are quiet.
Absolutely powerless.
Mm. Or they are not even trying to show forth.
That's the point. They are not trying to do something. Because if they actually stood up and fought it, you would,
eventually,
it would be our God against his God.
Yes. Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
Like you only have to fight.
Yes.
Then you only have to stand up and fight.
Yes.
Then it is suddenly your God against his God.
Yes.
And there can only be one winner.
Of course.
Eh. Mm. So, but you see, when you keep quiet or when you acquiesce with him and join up with them, then he wins. Mm.
And he gains more territory.
Yeah, and he gains more territory. Yes. And you know, people don't understand that.
Yes.
Just because, you know, in the Old Testament, there was a time which amused me where they say that the kings used to go to war.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, you know that story of David and Bathsheba?
Yes.
At the time of the year when kings go to war. Mm. Now, the first time I read it, I was bemused. I said, so kings would just wake up and say, now, maybe in this period, maybe in this summer, we have to go to war. So who are we going to fight?
They just try to pick fights because
it is time for war.
For war.
And I found that interesting. But you see, the reality is it was about territory.
Yes.
And it was territorial. All those wars were about territory and about subjugation.
Yes.
So they go, fight, subjugate one kingdom and make them pay tribute to them and extend their sphere of influence.
Yes. Actually, the thing is, when you see most of those kingdoms, like which became stronger through fighting only. Looking at the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, how he became strong by only taking more territories, fighting, taking more territories.
No, I want us to look at it in terms of Israel.
Yes.
Because I'm relating it in terms of the church.
The church, yes.
Because the kingdoms of the people of darkness, for them, they know it's about territory.
Yes.
They know it is about influence. Mm. They are not kidding themselves. They know it is about influence.
Yes.
And it's about who makes the decisions, who calls the shots.
Yes.
They know that. Now, in the church, for us, we don't know somehow we are clapping our hands and waiting to go to heaven. But just as it was in the Old Testament, even now it is as territorial. We are supposed to be as territorial as, let's say, King David was going to fight.
Yes.
Capturing territory in different places.
Actually, everywhere.
Capturing territory in business. Capturing territory in politics.
Yes,
capturing territory
in
media. Capturing territory. In every endeavor, we are supposed to be capturing territory and bringing it under the influence
of
God.
Yes.
Just as, of course, God has influence in us.
Yes.
Now, that is the purpose.
Yes.
Okay, of this end-time church, to spread the influence of God across the world by, first of all, giving God maximum influence in their lives.
In themselves.
In their lives.
Yes.
And then afterwards, they go and spread his influence in the world. Now, when you don't understand that, you become a weak church because you don't understand that it's all about territory.
Yes.
And the people whom you're fighting with from the kingdom of darkness, for them, they know it's about territory.
Yes.
They are not kidding themselves. Now, the church has to come to this place where we know that it's supposed to be about territory, not about survival.
No.
Now, the church is in such survival mode.
Very, very
you know, sometimes
much.
I look at, I even have conversations with some men of God and pastors and what, and you see their whole disposition is about survival.
And settling.
Settling if they can be left in peace.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, the reason the devil wins.
Yes.
The reason bad people win is because good people want to be left alone.
Yes.
Ah, for us, leave us alone. Let us be in peace. The devil is not going to leave you alone. He does not want to leave you alone. You see? Eh? So now, if you come with the attitude of just leave us alone, you have already defeated yourself.
Yes.
And you are going to be defeated, even if you serve a superior God.
Yes.
Because you know, and that is that almost all good people across the world have the attitude of that, leave us alone. But the bad people are actually plotting of how by 2030 you will have nothing and be happy. You will own nothing and be happy.
Mm.
By 2030, you are supposed to have given up all your freedoms.
Everything.
Yeah, all your freedoms. You can, you don't purchase something. They don't want you to purchase. That's what they are planning for. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It is not, actually, I'm saying it is not going to happen. But the point is, as long as good people sit and say, just leave us alone, who is going to leave you alone?
No one.
Somebody, people are planning to enslave you.
Yes.
To put you under subjugation.
Mm.
Just like, imagine now in the time of Old Testament when kingdoms are going to war. Yes. And one kingdom says, ah, for us, we don't want war.
They are
going
just to come and run you down and you start paying tribute.
So you have to wake up and fight. Yes. Now, that's how it is.
Yes.
What?
And in this time, for us not to pay tribute to demonic kingdom, yes, of course, now tribute in court now, yes, of now, like, for instance, if you see the plans they are planning, you said Agenda 2030, like all these, everything you eat, it has to belong to them. Everything, your money, it has to belong to them. It is like you just subscribe to the king to use it. You don't have like houses. Everything you have, like house, you have to have it from them. You have to have a legal right from them. And a whole liturgy of the plan of the Antichrist and the system of the Antichrist, which they are planning right now. So if we don't have to pay tribute in that way, we have to fight. We have to learn to fight, like what that scripture says. God left them some of these territories for them to learn war, the art of war. And now, as the end time church, we are supposed to take, we have the calling. Because the scripture says that, and the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ.
Now, the thing which confuses the church, of course,
yes,
is they think that the fighting is just, you know, in itself preaching the gospel and so on.
Only.
Yeah, and getting people converted. That's very, very important, of course. But it's not that.
Yeah.
Because if you just do that, it's just going to be it's going to be a matter of time before you cannot do that.
Yes.
Eh? You see, even in countries where they are not allowed to just preach the gospel, they started by saying, ah, for us, let other people take authority. For us, we just preach the gospel.
Yes.
And then the demonic people take authority. And then they say, now you're not allowed to preach the gospel.
Yes.
So now what are you going to do?
Nothing.
So you the only way you're going to guarantee that you are in control is by being in control.
Yes.
Now,
and the effectiveness of the church is seen when it takes over every sphere of life.
No.
When the church is strong, when the church is weak, every sphere of life will be full of those demonic people and the surrounding, everything around. Maybe if it's a country, it will just look haphazard, things are not working. That is the same representation of what is happening in the church. But when the church takes its place of dominion, of territory, of taking over places of authority, taking over things that God has given them, eventually you start seeing the life changes because now they are taking over. So that is just the pattern how it's supposed to be. Once the church is weak and it's sitting back, like coiling and just being in the defensive, we have everything we want. We are just going to preach the gospel and stop there. Now people will be, for the other guys, they like the New World Order people, they will sit in conferences, which is their place of preaching, and they will not stop there. The next thing, like you'll hear the World Economic Forum sits, and they'll talk about how they should stop farms and farms and all that. Then you start seeing it happening. So they only don't stop at just talking it in their conferences. They now go to implement.
And you know the interesting thing, you know, all these things have something in the scripture, some sort of
pattern,
I would say, but in the scripture
parallel.
Parallel.
Yes.
Because remember, of course, we compare Old Testament and New Testament. In the Jewish people in the kingdom of Ahasuerus.
Yes.
In the book of Esther,
yes,
who were happy and comfortable and doing their things.
Yes.
But Haman is plotting to kill them.
Yes.
But the Jewish people are there. They are saying, for us, we are happy. We are digging. We are harvesting. We are eating our things and everything is okay.
Yes.
But just because you're happy doesn't mean that the enemy is not plotting for you. So Haman is there busy plotting for you. And his plot is going to come to pass until you wake up. And then you say, you know, something has to be done about this, and it is done. Now, the interesting thing is that I found, of course, many of the people listening to this know the story. I hope they do. That when Esther kind of takes over the kingdom,
yes,
by taking over the kingdom, I mean that has the full support of the king, her husband, in fighting for the Jews. Afterwards, okay, before I even go to that, there's something which amused me so much. Is when Haman came and spoke to the king and said, find me that scripture.
There's a
group of people who are scattered across the kingdom.
Their beliefs
and customs are different from ours. And I'll give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's treasury if you give me permission to kill all of them. Imagine a group of people in their millions who are so powerless, who are so what totally have no influence whatsoever, that somebody comes and offers money and says, let's kill them. Now, I saw a bit of that here in the lockdown, where they say, churches, you're useless. Yeah. You don't even give tax and so on. So he's saying in the book of Esther.
Yes.
So imagine people so apparently useless, yet they are in their millions. That somebody will just come and tell the king, they have no benefit to us. It says, then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people, I'm reading from Esther chapter 3 verse 8, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other people's, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting, another translation says, therefore it is not profitable for the king to let them remain. Imagine I say that there are people who are useless. Now that was what happened here in lockdown. That churches are used, it's not profitable for you to open them because they're not going to, but kids, at least they are going to give tax and things like that. So Haman says that these people, their laws are different, their customs are different, and it is not profitable for the king to let them remain. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, if it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasury.
Yes.
Now that is the most indecent proposal. So these people, it's not profitable for the kingdom to have them. But I would give 10,000 talents of silver if you just let me kill them.
Yes.
Okay? Now the king did not even ask. Like 10,000 talents of silver, that sounds big and that sounds good. He doesn't mind that.
Yes.
And as for the other people, they are not profitable. Okay? So what does he do? The king, verse 10, so the king took the signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. Imagine. for 10,000, okay. Now, all that, do you know that was all the Jews that existed? The Jewish race would not have been here if that had happened.
Yes.
Because all the Jews that existed lived within the boundaries of the 129 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus. So they were going to kill all of them that time. Now, that was, of course, the devil's plan.
Yes.
But the Jews being there doing nothing and thinking that they are going to be left alone. Leave us alone. Nobody is going to leave you alone.
Yes.
You see, some people think there's
a verse here which afterwards, when now Mordecai goes, he knows that this has been hatched, and then he goes and tells Esther. But then I want to read from Esther 4, from verse 12. He tells Esther, says, so they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. He says, we are doing something about this.
Yeah, because now Mordecai had the attitude which we are supposed to have. You know, there are some people who think that we just agitate and we have nothing to do.
Yes.
And so you just come and agitate and so on. And for them, yeah, for us, we are busy praying and preaching and preaching the gospel.
Yes.
As if they pray more than me. Mm. I doubt any of them does, by the way. Some of the people I talk to and they tell me that.
Yes.
Feturi mkusaba and all that. But they think you're just rabu-rousing.
Yes.
But they don't understand that until you are like out there and taking dominion, you are going to be slaughtered. And your enemies are actually plotting for you, even if you're quiet. For you, saying, just leave me alone.
Mm.
So eventually, of course, you know what happened.
Yes.
When Esther turned the whole thing around.
Yes.
And Haman was killed. And then the king now takes the ring away from Haman and gives it to Esther and Mordecai and says, do as you please.
Yes.
Then they write letters. But you know what amuses me? In chapter 8, it says, and many people became Jews.
Yes.
Because of the fear of Jews.
Yes.
Now, if you want to preach the gospel, a time will come when we are in authority and many people will become Christians.
Mm.
That's what happened even in the time. It just happens like that.
Yes.
People chase after wealth and influence.
Yes.
So a time will come when if it is in the church, people will come to the church.
Yes.
That's why it says in Isaiah chapter 2, you know, in the mountain of the Lord's house will be above all other mountains.
Yes.
And people will flock to it and tell you, and say, come and let us go to the house of our God, that he may teach us his ways. Now, for them to come and say, we want you to teach us your ways, they have to have seen that your ways are superior to theirs.
Mm.
There has to be something admirable about your ways that they want for them to come to you. But as it is right now, for the most part, if you are as sick as them, you are as broke as them, you are as busted as them, you are as uninfluential as them, why would they want to come to you?
No way.
But now you see, a time comes here, that scripture, it says in chapter 8.
Yes, 8 verse 17.
What does it say?
It says, and in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews. Because of the fear of the Jews fell upon them.
Hey, now, I would love that. When they say many of the people of the land became believers. Christians.
Yes.
Because of the fear of Christians.
Yes.
Hey, but now, you know, because the world will come after.
Yes.
What, you know, wealth and influence and so on.
Mm.
And God has designated this for the church.
For the church in this time.
And now, that's what makes the people of the world come and say,
yes,
come and let us go up to the house of the Lord. For he will teach us his ways.
Mm.
The scripture which is in Isaiah chapter 2, but also in Micah chapter 4.
Mm.
And he will teach us his ways.
Yes.
Would somebody come, I would put this as a challenge for everybody who is a believer out there.
Mm.
Is there anything that you have that somebody will come and say, come on, teach me your ways.
Yes.
I want to know your ways.
Mm.
Because if there is none, then you've not yet come to where we are talking about.
Mm.
Now, these people actually completely took over the kingdom to the point that, and I'll read now chapter 10, which is the shortest in all of this. And King Ahasuerus imposed tribute to the land and on the islands of the sea. Now, all the acts of his power and the might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Now imagine that.
Mm.
That Mordecai, who was an outsider,
yes,
a Jew, who would just sit outside the king's.
Now
when they are writing all the Biafayo, all the history of the kings of Media and Persia, Mordecai is also there. That's how much influence he had. And now he used his influence to save the Jews.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose. Eh?
Yes.
For Mordecai the Jew was servant to the king Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and well received to the multitude of his brethren, speaking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen.
Mm.
Now that is the whole thing.
Mm.
Where somebody who is, there is a kingdom.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
And Mordecai comes and takes over. Basically, he's in control.
Mm.
And the king tells him, there is the ring. The ring was like the stamp, the official stamp, which seals every decree.
Every decree,
So now, there it is. Go and have a blast.
Yes.
So now, Mordecai and Esther are basically running the kingdom.
Yes.
And
total control.
Total control.
Yes.
And they said, but that happened when they stood up to fight for themselves.
The secret was standing up to fight.
Yes. Otherwise, they were going to be killed.
Yes.
They were going to be killed
properly,
along with all the other Jews. And now that is a message for so many people here today, in the church, within the church.
And there's that part which I read, and he says that if you do nothing, don't think that you being a wife to the queen to the king, you'll be spared because you are a Jew as well. But now, if you just sit and you relax and you said this, I'm okay. Don't think it you'll be free. You'll be okay. But if you join us, because he said now we are starting a fight on what on this plot which is against us. On this, let me say, on the globalist agenda, things which the enemy is trying to plot against us in this end time. But if you just sit and you say, no, for me, I have this something I have this establishment here and there, and you sit back.
There are so many such people. I'm telling you, there are so many such people. I meet them all the time, and they are apparently too secure, but to want any form of advancement. But they are, if only I could communicate to them that they will lose what they have unless they stand up and fight.
Yes.
And I'm talking about fighting here in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about fighting in the sense of, you know, I'm talking about fighting here in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So this really is the message for us. By the way, this Friday, Good Friday, the Watchman Fellowship relocated. We were somewhere in Munyonyo. Now we moved to a place I think which will, many people will find more convenient, in Kabalagala, near La Chateau. There is that group of restaurants in La Chateau. But as you move up from Kabalagala Trading Center, the junction of Kabalagala, and move up towards Nsambia on the main road, there is a petrol station.
Yes.
A petrol station of petrol.
Yes.
And right after it, that's where we'll be congregating, starting this Friday, going onward. So I invite you to come, and we prepare ourselves for this end time call, which is going out now to everybody, to think about kingdom mindset.
Yes.
Kingdom mindset. Kingdom has to consume. Remember what it says in, it says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 44, that this the kingdom which God is building will consume
all other kingdoms.
All other kingdoms.
Yes.
Basically take them all out.
Yes.
And it will be the only one which will stand.
Yes.
Now this is what we are here to do. Yes. The kingdoms of the world are fighting, by the way. And the one thing they have is their people fight
relentlessly.
Yeah, very relentlessly. Like now, for instance, you even go to any of these countries. Now let's say in America, like judges will be all, when they are on this side, they do not falter. They stay right on their thing.
Yes.
But now those who are on the side, and those are those who are on the side of evil.
Mm.
Now those who are on the side of good, they try to qualify things, you know, and be here and there, and they try to, you know, be as if in the middle. I think this one are what, you know, but these ones are also, you know. Yeah, so the rubbish.
Which the Bible calls lukewarm.
Now, in kingdoms,
yes,
you cannot say that, you know, this these ones are good, but also these ones are not. Yeah, so me, I'm in the middle. You're useless.
Yes.
Yeah, you're useless. Mm. So you have to be, now the scriptures, Jesus said, be wise as what?
Serpents. Harmless
as doves.
Yes.
Now, what is the wisdom of a serpent?
Mm.
Those people in their groups.
Yes.
I was listening to somebody who joined who said that his friend joined and so on.
Yes.
Secret societies and all that.
Yes.
And they told him that if you are in trouble anywhere in the world, they just give you a code which you use.
Mm.
Even if you go to court, you just use a certain code. They will make sure they will put you under a judge who is part of them, and they will make sure that judge releases you. Their system is all across the world.
Yes.
That somebody goes to court and is apparently in the wrong, and apparently should be sentenced. But he gets there and he just says a certain word. And then the people will make sure that they put him under a judge who is one of their society.
Yes.
And that judge will release him or do whatever it is he wants. Now, that's how far they have spread their tentacles. But of course, we are destroying all of that.
Yes.
And they do it in such a way that, and they said everywhere in the world,
yes,
it, regardless of which country, if you're part of their secret societies, just use this thing.
Mm.
If you're caught doing something fishy or what, just use this code and you'll see how everything will crumble and you're you're let free. All the legal systems almost crumble in front of you and you're let free. That's how far they're... Now, that is the wisdom of the serpent. Now, we have to get to that point. The church is not yet ready, but we will be ready with
time.
We
will,
Where we have a system where, like, people have to support what is of this kingdom.
Yes.
In the same way that those people support what is of their kingdom of darkness. But you see now, the devil is having a bit of a field day because the people of the kingdom of God are fighting each other.
Yes, now they are.
But now that is going to go away because in this end time, so many things are going to happen, by the way. And you will see how the whole system comes together. And now we have that sort of togetherness where nobody can touch the gospel. Nobody can touch. And we are in total control. Total control. Okay? That is where we are heading. Now we've run out of time. Give us a final word.
Not forgetting, a Watchman Fellowship is resuming this very Friday, Good Friday. So get ready for that. And it's, as you've said, the location is, I'm going to locate it opposite Mukwaya Hospital.
Opposite Mukwaya Hospital?
Yes, right opposite. If you just ask anyone for American Embassy, move a little bit as towards Kabalagala. About 500 meters from American Embassy, but opposite Mukwaya Hospital, starting 5:30 on Friday. So be ready to join us for a moment of the presence of God. Yes.
And come and let us prepare you to be an end-time believer, like a kingdom, a true kingdom believer.
Yes.
Anyway, we have to end here today. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful day, a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UGWatchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.